Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
And so Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, he's talking about the relationship in a recent interview with 60 Minutes about, you know, what his perspective of is where things are going with President-elect Trump. Let's take a look.
I know Donald Trump. I know him very well. And I think his attitude, his support for Israel is clear. He feels very warmly about the Jewish state, about the Jewish people, and about Jewish people. There's no question about that.
With Trump, do you think that Israel will not be as at odds with the United States as you have been under the Obama administration?
I had differences of opinion with President Obama, and most well-known, of course, is Iran.
Was it personal between the two of you?
No, I don't think so. I think that suppose we had the greatest of personal chemistry, okay? So what, you think I wouldn't stand up against the Iran deal if I thought, as I did, that it endangers the existence of Israel? Of course I would. Contrary, I think that it's my responsibility to speak up when something threatens our very future.
I mean, it just makes sense. We used to speak up. I mean, under our new presidency, I think that we'll speak up when people try to threaten our population. But it's a common thing when somebody,
that's what we'd want.
Yeah, somebody's going to, I mean, you went as a Marine to stick up for us, and we defend our family when we're under attack. And Israel's, I mean, we say it again and again, but you're looking at approximately 70 miles wide at this widest point. When you're that small, they say people that are small have to strike fast and first, because if they don't strike first and fast, sometimes it doesn't. Those are the ones that always hurt me in law enforcement. Was the smaller
ones you got to look out for.
They always hurt me. Like, ow, man, that hurt. So he's talking specifically here about he's feeling comfortable where things are going, and people began to say a narrative about, you know, speak a narrative like you're going to miss all this intelligence that this Iran deal gives, you know, America, and it's like intelligence. And as a matter of fact, he talked specifically about the Iran deal, because remember President-elect Donald Trump saying he wants to totally renegotiate or do away with that deal. It's been a crazy deal. But listen to see what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says.
I think Iran didn't rush to the bomb before there was a deal.
Really?
No, because they were afraid of retribution.
But if, okay, you get rid of the deal, then what?
I think what options we have are much more than you think, many more. And I'll talk about
like
it
what?
With President Trump. Well, I think quite a few, actually. Because there are various ways of undoing it.
You have something in your mind.
Yeah, I have about five things.
Well, give me one.
Well, I'd like to talk to the president before I talk to 60 Minutes.
Kind of makes your face melt, though. It's like, okay, you're speaking to a prime minister of Israel, and, you know, I just pray that the press would move to a better place in presenting that. We want to honor, you know, especially Israel.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's saying specifically he's got five, you know, possible ways to do this thing instead of having to do the other. And some people were saying that intelligence came through this deal, that, you know, that people that hate you, that want to push you into the sea, who want to destroy you, who teach their children about intifadas and all these different things taking place, that they are going to give you share intelligence with you. Well, this is what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had to say about the Iran deal being beneficial for intelligence for Israel.
I think we have the deal is not the critical thing of intelligence. Intelligence is a critical thing.
Which Israel is really good at.
Which is we're very good at, and we you know, with a little help from our friends.
So you don't think we're gaining that much by these on-site inspections?
For intelligence?
Yeah.
No.
What about the silver lining that because of this deal, you now have all these better relationships with your neighbors?
Oh, wow, that's true.
I would say this.
The only good thing I can say about the deal with Iran is that it brought the Arab states and Israel closer together.
It's the old proverb, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. On a trip to the desert town of Beersheba, he told us there's been a tectonic shift. It's been reported that Israel and the Arab world are sharing intelligence.
All I can tell you is that Israel's position in the Arab world has changed because they no longer see Israel as their enemy, but as their ally in their indispensable battle against the forces of militant Islam, either those led by Iran, the Shiites, or those led by Daesh, by ISIS, the militant Sunnis.
We hear that you have dramatically improved your relationship with Egypt.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Jordan?
Yes.
Saudi Arabia?
No comment.
I have to ask you, because it's the most fascinating of all. Israel and Saudi Arabia, are you actually developing an anti-Iran alliance in the Middle East?
It doesn't have to be developed. It's there anyway.
It's there anyway. Mm. I mean, Israel is such a friend. You missed the whole program that we had on Israel. They are blessing so many nations and so many people in so many ways. And this whole tension that was created out of the current and soon leaving administration pushed Israel and others to begin to build alliances.
Yeah.
And they've always given things away. They've always offered resources to others. A lot of technology, like the facial recognition and social media and so many different things. It goes on for days. Medical things, agricultural things.
Health. Yeah, it just continues on and on. It's beautiful to see.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, some of the alliances they built, check out what he said about the alliances that came through them, actually this tension, but also giving things away and providing technology for other countries.
Israel is developing a whole skein of new alliances, in some cases with countries that have been challenging the U.S. around the world. Like Russia, which has placed its troops in Syria, Israel's next-door neighbor.
That's a big question, because Russia's fighting someone. They're telling you who they're fighting in Syria, which is like the hat on your head. It's like the top northern border of Israel. And they're supposedly fighting for Assad, fighting against the uprising in Syria and ISIS, they said. And Aleppo is being totally destroyed. This is like 10% of the population is even left, even in that place right there. But when we get back from the break, we want to find out what does Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has to say about this, and understand that now that America is going to stand with Israel, and Israel is going to stand with America. That's a powerful force.
Absolutely.
And these alliances that have been built right there, and some prophetic things have been said about Russia that we had on an earlier program, that you know, God loves Russians, God loves Chinese, God loves Americans, God loves Arabs. And so, you know, a revival is supposed to come out of Russia. As a matter of fact, this huge billion-soul harvest is to begin there. So, you know, God knows what he's doing. This is so exciting about what America's relationship with Israel, and it's just we're coming into the fullness of who we really are. And this is, we've always stood with Israel from the moment that they came. But this is really, really, really standing with it. And I think about that scripture again when you think about this, while we're talking about this, is because a biblical perspective is when a country stands with Israel, even a non-Christian country, but a country stands with Israel, he says in Genesis 12:3, he says, I, God, the creator of the universe, is holding everything together, who calls Israel the apple of his eye, where Jesus Christ will ascend on the mount, on this mountain there, and he'll split in two. And I mean, just so he's going to rule and reign and set up his kingdom. And this is like the epicenter of what God has been talking about for thousands of years. He says, I will bless those who bless Israel. I mean, think about it. This is a shift of mercy taking place. And I think about, you know, what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was speaking about in regards to, you know, Syria and Russia's relationship. And as a matter of fact, you know, as soon as he started, you know, we didn't go talk to, you know, there's more, I'll have more flexibility after the election, I'll transmit that to Vladimir. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we got. But he went directly to Putin, President Putin, and started talking to him about, you know, what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they decided what they were going to do at that particular point. Take a look.
How would you describe your relationship with Russia right now?
It's amicable, but the minute Mr. Putin decided to put his military forces in Syria, I went to see him, and I said, look, here's what I'm doing. I'm not intervening in Syria, but at the same time, if Syria tries to intervene with us, if Iran tries to use Syria to attack us, we'll stop it.
You're telling Mr. Putin that you will attack.
I said, we should avoid this. And he said, I agree. So we coordinated between our militaries, because no one wants an inadvertent Israeli-Russian clash.
It's so amazing, you know. By the way, when Israel says, I think we should avoid this,
yes.
That's a very good thing. But when you're looking at, as law enforcement, for example, when I show up at a hostage situation, and they had hostages in this house or in a bank or something of that nature, we would actually talk to the suspect. We would talk to the one who had the people mm-hmm. held hostage. The first thing you do is you want to start communications with them because you want to start seeing where you can go with this thing. Would they have any demands? This what's going on? And these people now saying that you shouldn't have any relationships with countries around. These are the very same folks that said they wanted to sit down and talk to the Shah of Iran. You know, that they wanted to talk to the leader of religion in Iran, Ayatollah. And supposedly, unless they wrote letters to the Ayatollah, I mean, Russia's nothing compared to that. Iran doesn't just have the power that Russia has, but in comparison to American Russia, it's a big difference. But they have, you know, nuclear capabilities, and that's why you got to pay attention to it. But, I mean, the fact is, you want to find out if somebody's fighting a war at your northern border, like if Canada was in a war.
You want to go talk to them?
We want to go talk to the Prime Minister of Canada and say, so, what's going on here? Just want to let you know, if something comes over into Iowa or New York or something like that, we're going to have to deal with it. Other than that, and it was wise. And they're even talking about the president-elect. They're saying that he has some sort of relationship with Russia. If you're a worldwide business person, you have, you know, businesses with relationships with people all around the place. And if you look at the people who want to do business internationally, which are tons of Americans, they just wish they had those kind of relationships.
Absolutely.
And one of the Secretary of State nominees they're talking about, first name is Rex, can't tell his last name right now, but he has, he's head of Exxon Oil. For 40-something years, he's been employed in dealing with all these countries of the world. And they're saying that's a negative thing. That's actually a positive thing, because if you can get a deal done, then that means you can get your country's deal done and things to happen. And it's the most exciting, I don't know where it's going to go with this, but I know this is the most exciting administration I've ever seen, because everybody's being put in place to do exactly what was said, and that's their basically desire, their passion inside of them, and it's just exciting. So here, all of a sudden, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is being accused now because he talked to Russia, which he should, because there's a war going on 50 feet north of its border here, and all around him, as a matter of fact, and they're partnering with Iran. Russia and Iran are working together to be able to fight off the enemies of Assad. And so she accuses, in this interview, she's accusing the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of partnering with the enemies of America, like America's no longer a friend of Israel. Listen to what he says about that.
You have a friendship with Mr. Putin and a friendship with China. You seem to be inching toward an anti-American bloc.
God, no. Let me tell you something.
We'll talk about that, because I think there's an impression of that.
That's a false impression. First of all, there is an irreplaceable ally. It's called the United States of America. And you have relations with Russia, and you have relations with China. We can have relations, economic relations, trade relations with other countries as you do. Why not?
And the very same people that are making these accusations are the ones that promote the United Nations. The whole point of the United Nations is all the leaders of the nations to come together to talk.
That's right.
Including, Castro came to the United Nations, took his shoe off and beat at the table years ago. I mean, that's the whole point, is communicating, to be able to work things out, diplomatically instead of through war. And so it's a good thing that you can communicate, and especially if you have a relationship that's there. But it boils down to this. It just looks like, because when you're seeing somebody who was doing something, who is openly for something until they're no longer the leader or something, and now they're against something, they're just against you. They're against the direction of the Constitution. They're our interpretation of the Constitution, which means if it says all of our rights come from God, we believe all our rights come from God. We know it is, but the Constitution supports that. If we believe that government is by the people and for the people, then we believe that. They believe that it's kind of flexible and it can change. And so you're looking at more of a firm interpretation of the Constitution. You're looking at where Judeo-Christian nation, our roots and foundations are. So we're going the way by the mercies of God, according to what Dutch Sheets just wrote. And I felt that way, too. As a matter of fact, when I was reading what Dutch had said and was sent to me by Brett, Brett Holderbaum, that I was saying that very thing on the program at that very moment. It's just mercy. I mean, if you look around, just look in the mirror. It's all mercy. God is being merciful to us.
The very fact that we're still here highlights God's mercy.
Yeah, and mercy's awesome. And mercy works. Mercy's works. And can you imagine you're going to a court and about to put you in jail, and you go, they say, "Oh, we're going to give you mercy." No, throw me in jail. Put me in for 40 years. Like, thank you, I'll take mercy. But we have to do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to respond to what's going on. And so Israel, during this time, they began to sow. Remember, we talked about the brick when they, the prophetic dream of Demetri Dudeman. I used to say it was Michael Bodea, but it's actually Demetri Dudeman, where Demetri Dudeman, when they begin to do away with the American dollar and their North Korea and China and Russia were coming together, the whole thing got established, just like God said it would in a dream. And now they're trading, and Israel had to begin to trade with that as well as trade with America because of what was taking place with the past administration. So hopefully that thing's going to shift. But they built a lot of relationships during that time. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
He has used economic and trade relations to improve Israel's standing in the world by selling and, in some cases, giving away its high-tech inventions. Israel boasts of more startups per capita than anywhere in the world, many based in Beersheba. And nations have lined up to buy drones, as India has, and cutting-edge agricultural technology, as China has. There's excitement about a new innovation that extracts drinking water out of air.
So this is Israeli diplomacy through technology.
Exactly right.
Countries that used to vote against you regularly at the UN are now your clients. I mean, African nations.
It's a revolution there. We can't keep up.
This is so exciting because she said countries that used to vote against you. And when we get back from the break, we're going to show you what's called the unstoppable voting block that helps you understand what she's saying, because that whole thing is shifting as we speak. But that Palestinian situation that just keeps on fueling, because, you know, Saudi Arabia and other ones are fueling that thing. And you know, she comes up and she says, I know what Palestinian people want. And it's like, well, why don't you go solve it? Why didn't you run for president? And she says, you need to divide up the land. And he's going, that's not it, because we did that already. Settlements, we did that already, and nothing happened. They need to acknowledge that we actually exist as a nation, and we can have two-state solutions. As a matter of fact, take a look.
We stopped in Gaza. We tore out the settlements and gave the Palestinians Gaza. And what happened? Did we get peace? We got 20,000 rockets on our heads and terror tunnels. I think the obsession, the focus on settlements, as though this were the issue, and this is the obstacle to peace, I disagree with that.
But they is an obstacle. I mean,
no, it's not an obstacle.
Well, you say that, but they don't say that.
Yeah, but I'll say something else. The real reason we haven't had peace is because of a persistent refusal of the Palestinians to recognize a Jewish state in any border. You ask us to recognize you, I'm willing to do that. I ask you to recognize us. Recognize the Jewish state, for God's sake. And if they do, this thing will begin to correct itself very quickly.
The Palestinians?
Well, I'm willing to negotiate with them anymore.
If it doesn't happen...
You know, I haven't reversed my position. I've said, look, we will solve this because we want two nation states at peace and with the proper security arrangements.
You would be pushing for a two-state solution. If
two states for two peoples. And that's where I'm focused. Yeah, I'd like to help to have President Trump, when he gets into the White House, help me work on that. I'd like to see if the Arab states can help me achieve that. It's a new reality, new possibilities.
This is such a big deal. If you would have seen this earlier on when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had to speak before the United Nations saying, you're saying nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, when we get back from this break, we're going to show you. There's been an unstoppable voting bloc that was built between Castro and Russia and Islam, and they've been working together. Well, now Castro's gone, and things are beginning to shift right now. And he just said, I mean, she just said, these are people that used to vote against you. She's talking about the United Nations, which means there's a shifting taking place. You just heard an interview, been watching the program, and listened to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu answer the question when somebody said, listen, the people that were voting against you are now supporting you. That's a good thing, ma'am. That is an awesome thing. Our president-elect is for Israel. It looks like this is beginning before Israel. Let's find out what she's talking about, because she's talking about the United Nations and what they refer to as an unstoppable voting bloc between communism and Islam and Russia that came together. Take a look.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, oh, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. but actually the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy. The only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, Zionism is a form of racism. Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism. Which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN.
So it's a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing. All these people that were voting against Israel who had a scheme worked up in the UN with Castro and Russia and Islam and all, that they're actually now supporting. So what the devil meant for evil, God has turned around for good for those that are called and love the Lord. And it's exciting to see what's taking place. So yes, it's a good thing, ma'am, that the enemies of Israel are actually supporting Israel, and the president-elect is supporting Israel, and we are moving our capital from Tel Aviv, which is a nice city, to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem. So this is exciting days. Yes. We're excited. I remind you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace and protection of Israel.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.